a professor is mean to Tony. A classroom is supposed to be a safe space for learning, and that includes allowing students to be wrong without belittling them. One of the most important lessons we learn as scientists is that admitting what we don't know is as vital to any problem as showing what we do know. It was unprofessional of me to single you out and embarrass you in front of the class, and for that I hope you will accept my apology, Professor Tabbert offered, swallowing thickly and darting a glance off to the side where Steve leaned nonchalantly in the doorway of the professor's office, hands in his pockets, and wearing a practiced look of utter boredom that Tony knew was too perfect to be real. Not by the set of Steve's shoulders, anyway, or the way the muscle in his jaw ticked time with the professor's words. Tony sighed and rolled his lip between his teeth, shrugging his shoulders a bit. "It's fine, Professor. I should have been prepared," Tony replied. Steve shifted a bit, and Tony watched Tabbert go as rigid as a corpse. Try as he might, Tony couldn't keep his gaze from dropping down just for a second, and he had to clamp down on the inside of his cheek to keep from letting a horrified chuckle out. The dean had already given him permission to do the classwork with another professor as his mentor, which worked out great, because Tony was not going to be able to unsee the front of Professor Tabbert's pants. And really, it took something away from the learning environment when you knew your professor wet himself. To be fair, the whole situation hadn't entirely been Tabbert's fault. Sure, the guy had been an ass about it, but Tony had known from the get-go that Tabbert was not happy about having a junior year Omega in his precious grad seminar that Tony thought was more fairly titled, "Buy My Crappy $200 Textbook and Tell Me Why You Love It." And he had been looking for Tony to slip up since day one. Of course, not being 3 weeks ahead in the materials hadn't been entirely Tony's fault, though when answering the professor's demand to know why Tony hadn't gotten that far along if the material was really so simple, with the honest truth that he had been too busy sucking his alpha's giant knot, had probably not been Tony's most mature college moment. "Again, my apologies," Tabbert added, then sucked in a quick breath, nodded at some point between Tony and Steve, grabbed his tweed coat to hold in front of him, and all but ran off towards the men's room. "You didn't have to do that," Tony said to Steve, who pushed himself off the doorframe and walked to Tony's side. There was a sense of bristling, barely contained energy about Steve that almost seemed to Tony to have form, like if he reached out to touch Steve's arm, he would get a jolt. Though he didn't, of course, when he laid his head against Steve's shoulder with a slight frown. Well, nothing other than the usual way it felt to touch Steve, that warm pull in his belly and sense of solidity and sureness, coupled with joy, like flying without fear of falling. "He was mean to you," Steve replied, still staring at where the professor had departed as if the man might return from the bathroom, bolstered with new confidence that would possibly come with a fresh pair of pants. Tony figured that Tabbert was probably currently planning how he could turn the faculty men's room into a perfectly fine living space, but said nothing. "Sometimes people are mean. You can't rush down here with your whole Captain Alpha thing every time someone's a dick. I could have handled it myself," Tony muttered into the curve of Steve's shoulder. He pushed his nose against the soft cotton of Steve's shirt, inhaling the scent. Musk and spring and alpha, some combination that made Tony think of the cabin for some reason. "Tony, 2 days ago, you were on the phone yelling at the director of S.H.I.E.L.D., Steve reminded him, a warm, low tone of amused appreciation lacing his voice. "He expects you to do everything, fix everything, every time they screw the pooch. Which, let's face it, is a lot, Steve. It's a lot. Come on." "It is," Tony argued. "It's the job, Tony," Steve replied. "You know that." "Fine, fine, the job, whatever. He doesn't have to be such a..." "He was, you know, being mean to you. I heard him," Tony mumbled, mouth twisting into an only slightly chagrined grimace. "I mean, probably for, like, national security reasons or something, but still. I hacked his phone and made it so every time he tries to message or call you, it tells him his storage is full, which I think is fair." All right, fine, I didn't, but I want to, Tony admitted at Steve's look. He shot a look back at Steve from under his lashes. I could. Tony, Steve sighed, though Tony could hear the laugh in it. Steve wrapped his arm around Tony's waist and pulled him around to his chest, leaning down and pressing a kiss to the bridge of Tony's nose. I know how hard all of this is for you, being the first Omega here, having to prove yourself over and over, never being able to make the mistakes everyone else gets a pass to make right now. It isn't fair, none of it is. If I can make it a little easier for you, you damn well better believe I'm going to do it. You don't have to fight the world alone, you know. Not anymore. Yeah, well, same to you, though, you know, Tony replied softly, looking up at Steve. Steve's face softened, and he shook his head just a bit, then smiled. Tony wound his arms around Steve's hips and lay his cheek against Steve's chest. He felt Steve's chest heave a bit with a sigh, followed by the warm pressure of Steve's lips on the crown of his head. Tony smiled, then lifted his gaze up to Steve. Hey, so, on a revenge scale from 0 to Inigo Montoya, how petty is it to send Tabard a year's supply of Depends?